Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You should always question yourself and your existence. You know.
I really appreciate the cast watching this. If I were in Cam's position, I would absolutely not be watching.
He's quite literally not on page.
Hey, man.
You're right. Hello and welcome to episode 12, season 2 of the Brews and Bruins podcast, the Hockey Podcast Network podcast, presented by Bruins Diehards, sponsored by Save More Spirits. Chris,
this episode sponsored by Save More Spirits. Check them out for all your beer, wine, and liquor needs. They have all of the macro brews, as well as a healthy offering of local beers and craft beers. They have locations in Somerville, Bedford, Cambridge, and Malden. And there's online ordering through Drizzly and Minibar. And also, we have a promo code for Drizzly for free delivery on your first Drizzly order. So punch in Brews and Bruins. That's Brews, ampersand, Bruins, no spaces on Drizzly. And you get yourself some free delivery on some alcohol.
Woo! We need like the PA announcer, woo, after our ads.
Woo!
That's what we need to do. But yeah, dude, should we present beer? Do we have to be formal about this? Because I'm just pumped right now.
Yeah, I just feel good right now. This is good.
All right, cool. Well, I have a Springgill Beer Co. Brewing Co. Wild and Free Hazy IPA. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. I have an Abnormal Brewing Company Tiki Life for Me Island Cocktail Wheat Ale and a Crooked Lane What Is IPA West Coast IPA.
Sweet. All right, yeah, no, dude, I'm feeling fantastic right now. Like that was great. It was just, thank God they won it. If they lost it, I would have been pretty disappointed, but also it's just either way, the Bruins are back, man. Like, this is great.
Yeah, I mean, that's the number one thing is hockey's back. And I think getting a game like that in immediately really kind of gets you back in the swing of things. I think when the bubble came back, it was kind of weird. And you get like a few games. They had that round robin tournament that was kind of just like, I don't know if this is real hockey. I'm excited it's back, but whatever. This is like everything counts. You got a 56-game season. You're playing against division foes every game, battling for a playoff spot, makes this that extra point that they got in the shootout extra special. Obviously, Brad Marchand, MVP of the game, scoring the first goal of the game and scoring the OT winner. Love that. Who stood out to you other than Brad Marchand, though?
I got to say, just McAvoy, Grizzlick, I think on defense, they, like, from the get-go, looked as if they were 100% ready. I think you saw a lot of players who, especially as the game went along, that it's the first game of the season, and there was no preseason. So this is, like, you know, this is first, like, actual competition other than scrimmages, you know. They got a bit slow, but they were there the whole time. I love what they were able to do with the puck. I think that's what you're going to see in the future. That's like what the Bruins defense direction in general is going, is to those guys who can do it all. So they really impressed me. But in terms of young guys, Frederick was really great. I saw him. He was mouthing off. He was in the dirty areas. He was skating. He's one of the guys who's still fighting for a role. You know, I think the only time you're really going to see Frederick this season be a consistent guy is going to be, say, like Wagner underperforms or a Corrali underperforms and he squeaks his way into the fourth or third line or something. But he looked really good tonight. He took advantage of, you know, Craig Smith's injury, you know, and not that he was like, you know, evilly.
Well, he was the one in practice, like slashing Craig Smith on the hamstrings, making sure that he's not playing tonight.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I think if Trent Frederick plays like this, he should be a fixture in that bottom six. Yeah. But one of those guys is going to be fighting for playing time with is Nick Ritchie, and Nick Ritchie had a pretty good game.
Pretty good game.
I, as someone who's not a big Nick Ritchie fan, it always hurts me to, you know, say good things about him. But yeah, he was kind of around the net for a lot of the night. Had, I think, three pretty good opportunities, and one of them he cashed in on. And even where the hell did Drew go?
I'm here. No, I've been here. I'm just giving you a solo layout.
I hate that. I don't want to look at myself right now. There are only two of us. If there were like four of us, yeah, absolutely. fuck you, man. Yeah, I think even one of them, I think he made the right decision in the shot that he took with Mackenzie Blackwood was kind of stretching to get across the crease, and he tried to go five hole and was in a little too close to maybe try and lift it. And it was just a really good save by Blackwood. I think you could be talking about a two goal game from Nick Ritchie if things had gone right.
Yeah, I think one of the, in terms of, you know, I saw a lot of rust out there, but more specifically within that rust, it was the stamina towards the end of the game. And, you know, maybe the desperation and speed at times. And then also just like the non-execution, not just because, you know, Blackwood was like great. Like he did rob some goals, but also, you know, you see a lot of misses on the Bruins part, and you saw plenty of misses for the Devils. There were a few whiffs there. I forget who it was. Was it Hughes? No, I don't think it was Hughes. It was someone with a wide open net.
Jack Hughes did have one miss, but it was a pretty decent save by Rask. I don't think it was the open net that you were talking about, but he had one from like right in the slot that he,
yeah,
if he had placed it differently, it would have been a whole different story, but.
Yeah, I think there was specifically one where the net was like wide open. Rask like left it half. It was like a weird bounce, and like he whiffed, and the shot went behind the net. But you know, that's just the rust factor. But no, I really like, you know, overall you get the win. Wish they didn't have to do it in overtime, but that was an amazing OT. That 3-on-3 for what was it, like 4 minutes without a whistle?
Yeah, It was interesting, I think, probably just because of who was playing at the end of regulation, but leading off with the Coyle DeBrusk, was it McAvoy was their defenseman?
I think, yeah, on that unit, yeah.
And then coming back with the Bergie, Marshy, Grizzlick trio, mm-hmm. I think that was kind of interesting. I think that trio obviously is going to be your best, and I like that they have the confidence in Grizzlick to put him with those three or those two. And I mean, that just kind of makes sense from a perspective of like, okay, you got your two kind of defensive minded forwards and put them with a good two-way defenseman, maybe give them show them the ropes a little bit in the overtime and see what happens. But interesting that I love the Krejci Kasha pairing and just in general. I think those two fit really well together, so having them paired up in OT is really cool too.
No, for sure. Yeah, I liked what I saw from Krejci. You know, he had that nice play early on the Marchand goal. It was good to see obviously Marchand, you know, I mean, you freaking won the game. There you go. Stundica seemed a little quiet to me on that first line, though. I think anyone playing with Bergeron and Marchand could take some time to really, you know, shine.
I'm okay with that. I think he had a couple of decent moments. He went and grabbed a puck off the boards that was kind of maybe a little less than 50-50 puck and came out with it when maybe he shouldn't have, and then made a pretty good pass to the slot, and it didn't really turn into anything, but I like that. He had some moments where he looked like he was doing some stuff, and he was decent on the back check, and I don't think he stood out in any bad ways. And I think that's one of the things that you're looking for in young players early in the season. And I think Lauzon and Zboril kind of were in the same camp there, where like I saw a few good things from them, but for the most part, I didn't see a whole lot. And I think that's probably a good thing. Frederick was the guy who stood out as like, yeah, he made some good plays. Mm-hmm. But I think as long as you're not noticing a lot of bad things early in the season from these guys, that's probably a positive.
No, for sure. Especially Lauzon, Zboril, because they're kind of pushing that as the direction of the defense. Obviously there's guys like Clifton, and you got Moore there, and you got back at nine. And, but I mean, that's a pretty, especially with Lauzon there, he's going to be a part of this team the entire season. It's not an 82 game season, but if it were, he'd be one of those 82 game guys, barring an injury or some sort. So it's good to see that their first game in however long that they're able to have that strong of a start.
Yeah, pretty pumped about it. I guess we didn't really talk about Krejci too much. Like you mentioned, he made a good play, but it's good to see. Especially in the OT period, an older Krejci than he was several months ago, as you know how time works. Yeah. And I think one of the worries of a lot of non-Bruins fans, I don't care what they think about the team going into the season because it's always going to be pessimistic, but I always look at the opinions of people outside of Bruins Twitter looking at what they expect from the Bruins going into the season. I think a lot of people were really positive about the team. And I think the big negatives of the team were that the aging core, it might be like, when does the floor start to fall out? Like when does Krejci start to lose some steam? When does Bergeron start to lose some steam? And Marshy is as quickly as he did pick it up at the end of his career, like who knows when that's going to fall out as well. So I can. I mean, it's encouraging to see that some of the older players, I didn't see anything that looked worrisome from them.
Yeah, no, I think that was kind of something I was thinking about. I was watching, the game with my dad and everything, and we were talking about Krejci, and, he still has some of him. Is actually somebody on Twitter, I think it was a whole conversation about like who's going to be a Hall of Famer. I think Krejci and Bergeron will be on the same track. I think Krejci more of a question mark just because he isn't Bergeron. Like Bergeron, I think they're going to do, it's going to be like a Chara situation where they're like, if you want to keep playing, man, we'll throw you a 1-year deal. Like they'll keep going. Like if Bergeron wanted to play until 45, they'd be like, cool, all right.
Yeah.
So
Krejci's up at the end of the year. So
yeah, exactly. So he's more of a question mark in that regard. And also if he continues, how long of a player, how long is he staying there? He's more of a movable piece, especially with everything, all the depth at center. They have Studnicka, they have Coil there. But I'm not going to think about that because
we're focused on this season.
Yeah,
I know. Krejci, it's always interesting to see when the Bruins have one of their top players kind of out, as obviously Pastrnak was, and I think one of the top 10 most important players on the team, Craig Smith, was out today. So love watching when Krejci kind of kicks in that extra gear. He's not a fast player necessarily, but man, watching him just get into it in overtime and just kind of buzzing around, I have no worries about that man this season. I think he's going to be great, and as long as everyone stays healthy, I'm pretty optimistic based on that. I mean, we can talk all we want about the quality of competition. I think the Devils are, I mean, they're not a good team, but I think they're probably a fine team. They're more of a pack it in, play some defense and try not to give up too many goals team than they are a score on everybody. But I think Jack Hughes is going to be a lot better than he was last year. And they have some really decent pieces on that team. And I think we saw a little bit of that tonight.
Yeah, definitely. In regards to the Devils, I mean, I still think they're going to be bottom of this division, which is the is easily the toughest division, I would say, in the league this year. So, but, you know, if when you look at it as, if you were to look at it as a regular season Eastern and Western Conference, I'd say they're still on the outside looking in, but they're not bottom of the barrel. Like if it was the bubble again this year, they would have made the bubble, I would say. You know, but as you say, hockey is weird. You can never predict hockey. You can never do it. So, but hey, use the code DraftKings anyway.
Shout to DraftKings. Yeah, sign up for DraftKings.
THPN.
Yeah,
we're gonna have a read or something on that at some point.
I think so. Yeah, we scored that sick ad. Will Nick Ritchie break Gretzky's 50 in 39 this year?
He could. He's on pace.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. Hockey's weird. You can never predict hockey's anything, weird. Cam.
You should always question yourself and your existence. You know.
I really appreciate that Cam's watching this. If I were in Cam's position, I would absolutely not be watching.
He's quite literally not on pace.
Hey, man.
You're right.
We're not math guys. Goals. Yeah, I mean, like, whatever, dude. Cam, you can get out of here.
Hop on the call. I sent you the link. Just hop on. I don't care what you're doing.
Yeah, you might be at work, but you should probably be on the call, too.
Yeah, like, this. Where are your priorities? Can we get, like, a chant? Cam. Watch him pop in.
Jen just asked if I'm watching the Sharks game. No, Jen, I am live streaming.
But yeah, good game. Do we have much else to say on it? Like, oh, who do we have next?
Who do we have next? Isn't it the Devils again?
Oh, yeah, that would make sense, wouldn't it? What day, though? Is it tomorrow?
Let's look at the schedule. Yeah, man, I got this, man.
I was just saying I'm still here. That's what
all right. Says. So we got Magic Celtics. Bruins Devils 116. What's today? 13th, 14th?
14th. 14th. Now technically. Oh, it's 10 p.m. Why did I think it was like 2 a.m.? But technically, it's the 14th now. Well, it's been the 14th for a solid. All right,
so we got Saturday at 10 a.m. on the West Coast. That's going to be 1 p.m. on the East Coast. Everybody get ready for that.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
What do you think? W?
As you know, I'm not big on predicting individual games. But sure, why not?
W.
I guarantee a win on Saturday.
Guarantee W. W, W, W dot. All right, well, this has been great.
I assume Craig Smith will be back because he seemed like he was close to returning.
Yeah, hopefully.
I want to see that guy.
Yeah, I want to see him.
I just want to look at his face.
I just want to see him in that jersey, man. I just want to see him in that good old uniform.
All right, thanks for tuning in, everybody.
We gotta sing.
What do we sing?
Go Bruins! Here we go.
Oh, whoa, whoa, oh, oh, whoa, whoa.